prophets. And we are the non-profits. I'm either your host, Dennis Loubet, along with Matt Dillahunty, Russell Glasser, Beth Presswood, and Lana Dell. And we're coming to you live from the Dillahunty International Studios in beautiful Austin, Texas, on the 28th of May, 2011. Or, I'm Thor, God of Thunder, along with the Warriors Three, cast out from Asgard by my one-eyed father for being a dick and starting a war with the Frost Giants. Of course, as we all know, the truth must lie exactly in the middle. This show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. If you want to learn why the ACA is exactly like the Catholic Church, because they both play music at the start of their program, you can call their voicemail at 512-371-2911 or visit their website at www.atheist-community.org. The nonprofits broadcast live every Saturday from 2 to 3 Central Time. You can participate in the show and express your opinions by joining the chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. But since everything is an opinion and all opinions are equally valid, there's no way that can really help. So sit back, forget you heard The School's Out by Alice Cooper, and muddle through our show without any grounding in reality. That way, you don't have to think.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to quit all that thinking.
And that was a mangled intro. Wow.
That's all right. We rushed Dennis. Things are kind of crazy in the area. And we're going to save the announcements for later because I don't want to keep our guests on hold forever. So Beth's going to start us off. Damon Fowler's on hold. And for those who haven't been following the story or being kept up to date on the story, Beth, give us a quick background. And Damon, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome.
Hey.
All right. Well, we have Damon Fowler on the line. For those who don't know, Damon, about the dozen people or so who don't know, why are you famous right now?
I stood up for the separation of church and state at my school.
That's
awesome.
They
were going to pray at graduation, and I told them that I would call the ACLU if they did.
All right, so where is your school located?
Bastrop, Louisiana.
Okay, so they've had prayer at graduation forever, just about?
Yeah, it actually became a law that you couldn't do that around 15 or 20 years ago, but they still did it.
Yeah, some of those places are a little behind the times. So, how did this all start? You sent an email to the principal, I heard?
Yeah, I sent it a week before graduation.
Mm-hmm. And did you send it with your name or anonymously, or how did this all go down?
I sent it with my name, my first name, and then my last initial. So, I mean, they knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened after that?
A few days after I sent it, I think it was a couple of days after I sent it, they started talking about it to the news, and somehow it got out to the public. I guess they made a big deal about it. And I saw it all over Facebook, and people knew it was me.
Right, and this went out on Friendly Atheists, some other blogs, and there was a pretty choice quote by one of the teachers at your school. Can you tell us about that?
Mitzi Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
She said something to the local newspaper along the lines of saying that I hadn't contributed anything to the school or to graduation.
Right. So she,
wow.
No one used your name, but yes, she blatantly said that you had not really contributed much, which I think you contributed a lot by bringing up the separation of church and state.
Most definitely.
If
nothing else, he tried to keep the Constitution alive throughout graduation.
Right. So all this happened. Can you tell us a little bit, as much as you want to, about what was going on in your personal life at this time?
What were your friends and family's reactions and that kind of thing?
Well, my friends, a lot of them were against it. I have maybe a few people that were actually supporting me in Bastrop. And I ended up getting kicked out of my house because of it.
Wow.
Mm. Whoa. Hi, Damon. Russell Glasser here. How long have you been an atheist?
I've been a skeptic my whole life, but I guess I finally decided to call myself an atheist a year to a year and a half ago.
Were you hiding it from your parents up until recently, or what?
I was. It didn't even get out by my choice. Someone told her.
Uh-huh. So how long before this incident did they find out? Or was it during the incident?
Could you repeat that?
How long ago did they find out? Was it during this episode with the school, or was it before that?
It was a few months ago that they found out.
And what happened after that?
They got mad at me at first, but then they ignored it until recently when this happened.
And then they showed their real feelings on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to... Obviously, this is Matt, by the way. Obviously, you've gone through a lot throughout this process and to the point where I know that when this kind of hit Reddit and there were a lot of people initially talking about it, that your brother was really supportive. And evidently, after your parents, I don't know, threw your stuff out on the street...
Right.
You've now had to relocate, and you're staying with your brother now?
Yeah, I'm actually staying with my sister in the Dallas area.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, you need to come down to Austin sometime. We'd love to have you.
I would like to.
So tell us a little bit about what happened actually on graduation day.
When I was in line and everything, I heard a lot of people that were insinuating that there would be a fight after graduation and nodding in my direction.
Oh, God.
So, well, I was already advised by the Freedom From Religion Foundation to leave graduation as soon as I could. And they actually made them provide extra security.
Right.
But the principal lied and said that it was because of the atheists that were emailing the school that they gave the extra security. That's not the reason.
Oh, wow. They were insinuating that some atheists were going to come around and start rubbing people up. Huh?
Yeah, I know. I was going to go beat some people up.
So I know, you know, or at least what we've been told through this, and I followed it. I was in Oakland, California, and Beth was feeding me information. Because I didn't have internet access at the time. Early on, after you submitted the letter, evidently the school board or the principal talked to their lawyer, and the lawyer, of course, rightly pointed out that you were correct and the school had agreed not to have a prayer at the graduation and instead have a moment of silence. And I got footage from the rehearsal where there was a prayer, and then as soon as the actual graduation took place, Beth sent me information right off the bat that they had basically a major prayer with everybody reciting the Lord's Prayer together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And so now on top of this, I don't know if there's any, are there any ongoing legal actions? I mean, do we have reason to believe that the school board and the people who originally said, hey, we won't have a prayer, got together with the students and said, you can kind of do this anyway, or?
I'm not really sure what they did. But I know that the Lord's Prayer was planned because I can go to Facebook right now and see where people were saying, are we still doing the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's free speech, though.
It was definitely planned.
So, and then to top it all off, the Freedom from Religion Foundation ensures that the school is required to provide security for your safety, and the school tops it all off with another lie, claiming that it was because of threats from atheists.
Yeah.
So, awesome. About the prayer that happened the night before at, I think, senior night. Now, is that like a baccalaureate, or is that school-sponsored, or what?
It was class night. It was school-sponsored.
Wow.
It was on school property in the auditorium.
And she was actually asked to give an invocation, and then they changed it to a moment of silence, and then she did it anyway. Is that what happened? Were you actually there?
Yes. I was there. It she was supposed to do the invocation, and then they told her to do the moment of silence, but she prayed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened again on graduation night. They prayed.
So I want to mention something else that happened, because I actually talked about this. I, of course, when I was in Oakland at the Rapture Ram, I actually brought up your case in particular, because there's a number of things about this that bugged me. The local news had done a report on this, and they engaged in a lot of the same type of behaviors we've seen before, where, like, the reporter is representing an obvious bias, almost sneering while she's talking about it, and referred to you as, I forget what it was. Instead of just referring to you by your name or that you were an atheist, it was something along the lines of claims to be an atheist, as if there was some deception on your part.
That newspaper was completely biased. Like the day after graduation, the one that they issued, it was basically gloating that they prayed.
Yeah.
But there was actually one news report that wasn't biased. They got commentary from a local lawyer who said that I was actually in the right, that it was against, it was unconstitutional to have a prayer there, even if it was a student-led prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still against the law.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm sure Beth has other questions right now, and we're just kind of trampling all over them. But I was curious, as you know, obviously this has been a crazy situation for you, right down to, you know, having to have security and getting tossed out and having to leave town and go live somewhere else. I was wondering if you'd talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what your plans are for the future. I mean, you know, we are all thrilled that you and several others have stood up for the Constitution and done the right thing, and it's encouraging. But I was kind of wondering where you thought you were going to go from here.
I plan on doing more things with, you know, Secular Student Alliance and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I will mention, because I don't know if Damon will mention this, that a scholarship fund has been started for him. You can go to friendlyatheist.com for details on that. I think it's up to like $20,000 or something.
I'm looking at it right now. Wow. It says $25,300.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so you did get some support, Damon.
I did.
Glad for that.
I'm very happy that I got the support of all these.
Do you have any...
I'm very glad I got the support of everyone across the country. I'm even getting support from Christians and people that aren't necessarily atheists, because it's not really having to do with atheism. It's
right.
Unconstitutional either way you look at it.
Yep.
Yeah, it could happen to you. It could happen to anyone.
One of the things I was really kind of hoping to see would have been like a mock-up video, because basically the girl who was supposed to do the moment of silence at the graduation got up and basically said, I know I'm supposed to do a moment of silence, but I can't in good conscience do this without giving praise to, you know, Jesus. I'd love to see somebody, like, edit that video with a voiceover where I can't in good conscience do that without giving praise to my Lord Satan, and then proceeding on with some other prayer like that, so that people kind of get a feel of what it's like. And, you know, let's insert, you know, a Muslim prayer, you know, anything like that. Because it really is.
I tried to explain that to them before. They don't look at it from another person's point of view. They see their point of view, and they see it as me attacking their religion.
Right. Your very existence.
Yeah, it's pathological with them. Yeah.
It's the bias of being in the privileged perspective. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that happens to middle-class white males when they look at almost any issue involving any minority.
Darn right.
And all of us are guilty of it, and it's a really difficult thing to kind of see beyond your own prejudices. And the fact that you're in the majority gives you this feeling that you're already right no matter what you do, even when you're clearly wrong.
So, Damon, do you ever see Bastrop changing?
Maybe eventually, but not right now. I've actually seen letters from the ACLU and Freedom From Religion Foundation saying that they should apologize and not promote that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if they would change at all. I don't even know if they're going to apologize. They seem a bit too prideful for that.
Oh, and even if they do, it'll be one of those non-apologies.
Yes, we're sorry we offended you.
We're sorry that was the other thing
about the newscast. After they called him like the person who claimed to be an atheist, they talked about how this was, you were claiming that, you know, it was offensive. And offense isn't the issue.
Right.
I mean, it's about violating the Constitution, which is there. I mean, these laws exist for a good reason that some people just are unable to see.
Right. I mean, I think the point of it is not so much that you not get offended, but I think the fact that you basically had to beef up security to keep yourself, I mean, they had to beef up security to keep you safe, is an example of the kind of thing that the law is trying to avoid, because a person shouldn't have to speak out for their personal beliefs in a public setting where that has no relevance.
You shouldn't have had to ask.
The thing that they got the offensive thing was I was attempting to explain how it could cause problems with someone who was, say, Muslim or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they wouldn't necessarily want to stand up and pretend to pray to their God, and because they might think it would be offensive to...
Right.
Yeah, and they wouldn't want to have to sit out, because when you're at graduation, you really don't want to be singled out and have everyone look at you because you're not standing up praying with them. Which is exactly what happened to me, but...
Exactly.
And really, doesn't even need to be a non-Christian religion. I mean, if someone had stood up and said something about the one true Holy Catholic Church, I'm sure that would have been equally offensive to all the people in Bastrop.
Yeah. I don't know anyone Catholic in Bastrop.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all Southern Baptist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it's really hard for them to even see it from another person's perspective, though. I mean, they just constantly say, "We're in the majority. Screw your constitution."
Right. We're a law. Yeah. They're a law unto themselves.
Being in the majority makes it right.
Yeah.
I know exactly the kind of people that you had to deal with. I grew up in Cleveland, Tennessee. We had actual school-sponsored, on-the-program prayer at my graduation. I couldn't do anything bad at the time, because although I was atheist, I was not out. Wasn't out to my parents till a couple years ago, and had a lot of problems with that, but then I was a lot older than you are. Didn't have the support you do.
Well, my brother, he went to the same school and graduated 10 years ago. And they actually, he still had his program, and he took a picture of it and sent it to the Freedom From Religion Foundation to let them know that they were doing this 10 years ago. And it actually had a preacher in there that was doing an invocation and a benediction.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, if nobody fights this, it will never change. They openly flout the law until someone calls them on it, and then they abuse the person that calls them on it.
Yeah, it's divided loyalties. You know, if you have one law above another, and that
yeah,
that law is from a 2,000-year-old book over the laws of the country you're living in, well, you got a problem.
So, obviously, we were thrilled to get you to take some time out of your day to come on and talk about this a little bit. You know, and I'm just encouraged. I mean, as somebody who didn't even become an atheist until he was well over 30, you know, I'm encouraged when I see a lot of the younger people, college students and now high school students, doing the sort of things that, you know, are right, that I wish I had, you know, been wise enough and able to do at the time. And we work a lot with the Secular Student Alliance, which is now branching out into high schools. And your story and the story of several others, I mean, we're going to have Jessica Alquist on here in a few minutes to talk about what's going on in her school. It's just encouraging. And the biggest reason that I wanted to make sure we got you on was I know that you've gotten, you know, scholarship support and lots of emails and things from atheist organizations and everything else. But we wanted to get you on to say thanks for what you did and to, to never think that you're alone, even if you're in a fairly hostile environment, because there's a lot of atheists out there who are thrilled that you did what you did. And there are some, I guarantee you, in the school that you were in, who would never say a word, but were sitting there quietly saying, you know, thank you, Damon, for doing what you did, because they can't. Not everybody can do this.
Yeah, thanks for what you did.
There are atheists in that were in the graduating class that didn't want to come out and say that they were. They did openly support me and defend me, but they didn't want to come out and say that they were atheists because of how people would treat them.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Russell.
Yeah, in that sense, I think you should just keep in mind that it's really good and important that you've broken that ground for them. Because, I mean, even though you've demonstrated that, in some sense, their fears are justified.
Yes.
You came out and then everybody wanted to attack you. But, the fact that someone came out as atheist before them is hopefully going to make it that much easier for the next person who's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a backlash, but it will get better. It gets better.
On all fronts.
And I will even say that with your family, your parents sound pretty extreme, but it could get better. And if not, you've got another family in the atheist community.
I do.
So, real quick, lastly, I know you're up in the Dallas area. Obviously, we're coming from the promised land, Austin, Texas. And if you get the opportunity, you know, during the summer in the next couple of months or whenever you get time, if you want to drive down to Austin, you know, we'd love to have you down for, you know, sit in on the TV show and hang out with our group a little bit. You're always welcome down here, so just feel free to drop me or Beth a line.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Damon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. All right. So,
cool.
We're going to do, I don't know, we can talk about this a little bit. We can get some news story stuff going while I get our next caller ready. I wanted to mention that, or did I already mention the Camp Quest thing after we went on the air?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
We went right to the call.
All right, yeah. Briefly, we're trying to raise money for Camp Quest, and we did some good. We raised some money for Camp Quest West while I was out in California. But right now, there's this battle going on where PZ Myers has his little chip-in widget on his website trying to raise money, and Team Beat PZ, which consists of Hammett Mehta from Friendly Atheist, Jim McCrate from Black Hag, JT Everhard, Digital Scuttlefish, Adam Lee, me, Greta Christina, and like four or five other people as well, got together as a group because the PZ's influence is greater than any one of us currently. Mm-hmm. But as a group, we were hoping to beat him. We were really losing. And then PZ went and pulled a trick out saying he'd shave off his beard in order to try and drum up some more money. So that got all of us to volunteer to do all sorts of crazy things. And I think I'm going to get the prize for volunteering to do the what I think is probably the coolest. We're currently $130 apart. PC's raised
$9,300. Wow.
Our group has raised $9,230. PZ's at 9,360, just for the people who were doing the mental math and thought I was wrong. Greta Christina has volunteered to do karaoke and get it on film, something which she's very reluctant and embarrassed to do. JT's going to wax his legs. Jim McCrite's going to learn to ride a bike, which is, I guess is a source of much personal embarrassment for her that she hasn't. But screw all that. If we beat PZ, and this is only running till June 1st, I'm going to do the Atheist Experience in drag.
You haven't read his latest post.
I did read his latest post. One of the reasons
turned it around.
One of the reasons that we've caught up is because PZ is an evil genius
who has
played the heads I win, tails you lose card and turned some of his followers to donate to our cause so that he doesn't have to shave his beard and we have to do crazy stuff. And I don't care because it's all for a good cause. We're trying to raise money for Camp Quest. And, you know, what I'd like to see, though, is the power of the people listening to this live. Right now, as I refresh the widgets, we are $130 apart. There's another dollar just came in. If we get over PZ before this show's over, I'll do two shows in drag.
No!
Woo!
No. It's madness.
I know. It's crazy. It's just nuts. And people are starting to figure out that I really just want to do the show in drag, I guess.
Yeah, but I do protest too much.
So why don't you guys hit some news stuff real quick, and I'll get Jessica on the phone.
Of course, you should support Camp Quest regardless of who's dressing in drag or shaving their beard. And send your kids there. I am.
Cool.
Wait, so somebody's supposed to have news?
Uh-oh.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Do you? Is there?
No, I don't.
Oh. Come on, the last
Fowler's.
Three weeks have passed. We had the end of the world. Come on.
Oh yeah, we did not have the end of the world. Actually,
no, the rapture happened. Both Christians were taken up. I mean,
right? Yes, both true Christians.
That's right.
According to each other. Have you seen that okay to be Takei thing?
Jessica Smith.
Yes.
Apparently,
pretty crazy.
Yes, apparently a school has outlawed.
Is it a school?
No, it's a state.
State.
It's Tennessee.
Has outlawed all teachers in Tennessee from saying the word gay for any reason.
Right, you can't be happy there. So,
and so of course, famous gay celebrity Mr. Sulu, George Takei, did this great video in which he announced that if anyone would like to talk about homosexuality without using any of the traditional words, he is loaning his name, and everyone is free to have a Takei old time.
Right.
All right.
I have actually ordered the shirt. I'm thinking I might wear it on my next appearance.
Awesome.
Wear it when Matt wears his drag.
Oh, yeah. Which we may end up doing. All
Perfect.
Right, we're ready.
Okay.
All right.
So we've got Jessica Ahlquist on the phone. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for sparing some time. I'm going to let Beth take over at this point because she's actually bothered to do some prep work where the rest of us just show up.
So, hey, Jessica, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. So, tell a few of our listeners why you're on the show today.
Well, I've actually been fighting a school prayer. It's actually painted on one of the walls in the auditorium of my public high school in Rhode Island. And it's been going on since July, I think, is when all this started. A parent who was in the auditorium for a program going on saw the prayer and contacted the ACLU because she knew that it was unconstitutional. And the ACLU sent a letter to the school asking them to please remove it. The school formed a subcommittee and had some meetings to discuss what they were going to do. And I actually attended the meetings, and I asked them to take it down. And they, I mean, there was quite a few of these meetings, and you know, they went on for many months, and I would go every meeting, and I would say, you know, please take it down. And I tried to show them where in the Constitution it says they can't do that, and why, and how, as an atheist, I feel that this sort of discriminates against me. And in the end, they decided that they were going to keep it up and fight the ACLU in court. And so I signed on as a plaintiff in the lawsuit.
Okay, great. Fools. So what does the prayer say? How sectarian is it?
Well, it's pretty obviously Christian. It begins with Our Heavenly Father. It ends with Amen. And, you know, people have tried to say that it could apply to any monotheistic religion, which really isn't the case.
And even if it did, we don't need to just be representing monotheistic religions.
Right. We should be representing no religions because we have a secular government.
Correct.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, because we're all pretty clear on what the political climate is like here in the southern states, but Rhode Island is not traditionally one of those parts of the country that you would associate with this kind of craziness. What's it like up there in general? I mean, religious-wise.
Well, yeah. To be completely honest, going into all this, I thought that when I went to the school committees and said, hey, look, this is wrong, they would just be like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll take it right down. You know, I definitely didn't expect any of this to happen. And since all this began, I actually learned that Rhode Island is the most Catholic state in the country. And I think the majority of the people around here are Catholic, and I've always known that. But this was definitely a surprise. And, I mean, Rhode Island does tend to be a little bit more liberal, so this, the fact that this is all happening here is really surprising.
Yeah, definitely is to me. So, you yourself, how long have you been an atheist?
You know, that's a good question. I think I started doubting that there was a God when I was probably around 10. I was always sort of raised to just kind of question things and to think for myself, which I think really helped me in that sense. I was baptized and sort of raised in the Catholic Church for a little while, but I eventually started to just kind of form my own ideas.
Hear, hear.
Good.
We just talked to Damon Fowler, who actually got kicked out of his house after raising a ruckus with his school. How did your parents react?
My parents are, you know, the absolute opposite of that.
Okay.
They have been very, very supportive, and, you know, my father's an atheist himself. Yeah, I have a lot more support from them. I think even if they did disagree with what I was doing, they would still be supportive of me because I am their daughter. In Damon's case, I mean, I actually cried when I heard that. Like, it's just, it's horrible. It really is. And I'm just glad that, you know, he's getting more support online and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely good. So what kind of persecution have you suffered because of being against the prayer?
A lot of stuff at school, actually. You know, the subcommittee meetings, for one thing. I remember standing up and saying that I was an atheist, and people gasped. And I was called a witch. They actually said that I was a Nazi, and they said that I worshipped Satan. And this was all at the school committee meetings. And these are like grown
adults.
I hope we did not have any history teachers in there.
No.
Calling Nazis atheists.
I don't think so. We had some very, very passionate Catholics, though.
But yeah.
And as far as school goes, you know, sometimes walking down the hallway, people will give me some funny looks. When the lawsuit was filed and we had the press release, I went into school the next morning, and in homeroom, I said good morning to a few people who sit around me, and no one talked to me. They wouldn't respond. And then when we stood to say the Pledge of Allegiance, I didn't actually say it because I don't really agree with the under God part of it, so I'm kind of opposed to that. But I'll stand just kind of to be respectful, I guess. And the kids in the class actually turned and screamed under God at me in the middle of homeroom.
Wow.
So that was kind of, you know, intimidating. And then in gym class this past week, people, the entire hour we're screaming things like "We love God" and "Amen," the whole time. And I mean, things like that. I remember at one point the mayor came in to give a talk. He's actually Chinese American, so he came in to give a talk about that and, you know, how he's a minority and everything. And during the question and answer session, someone asked how he felt about the prayer, and he pointed to it and said, "I want to see that stay exactly where it is." And everyone jumped up and started cheering.
Good.
And that was really, I felt really alone at that point.
Yeah.
So, as mayor.
To have the mayor come in and say something like that. Definitely.
Damn.
As mayor
of this town, I want to let you know that I support diversity and I encourage everybody except for you dirty atheists.
Right, that's essentially what he was saying.
Wow.
I love how people just like to use their religion to beat people with. Like this happened to Damon when they made sure to cheer and scream, you know, when they were doing the prayer at senior night. And then it's like, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag. Under God, Jessica.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... And I mean,
it definitely shows that this is kind of a power thing. You know, I don't even know if they so much care about having the prayer itself, but they just want to make sure that everyone knows they're in charge.
Oh, no. These are probably people that don't even go to church that much, some of them.
Right.
But yeah, when you challenge it, they have to cling on to that because they don't have anything else.
Exactly.
So, what's next? The lawsuit is going through right now?
It is. It's actually currently in court. The ACLU lawyers and the city's lawyers, because the ACLU is suing the city, not just the school, because the city is actually, you know, it owns the school, so it's all one and the same.
Yeah, and apparently the city is completely throwing themselves into it, from what you've said.
Oh, boy.
Going to the school committee meetings, the people on the board, I mean, they seemed kind of on the fence about whether they wanted to fight this or not. But at every meeting, more and more people went, and then they started becoming more sure that they were going to fight it because the majority wanted them to, you know, because they were nervous and they wanted to get reelected. So, I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they have to do it to please everyone in Cranston.
Jeez.
So, this is Matt, by the way. Am I correct that this was your sophomore year?
It is.
And so, I'm assuming you're going to be continuing on at Cranston over the next couple of years.
Another whole year.
Yep. I have my junior and senior years left, and, it could inevitably go on that long.
Entire time you're in school, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was curious about what your plans were afterwards, because listening to you, you know, speak about it, I'm encouraged because you know what you're talking about. You know who you are. You are, you know, a really kind of forthright defender of this. And so I didn't know if you had already, like, planned out what direction you were going after high school or if this is just, you know, what you feel passionate about and wanted to do right now.
Well, you know, I've always been considering my future, what I want to do, what I want to go to school for. And I think through all of this, it's been actually, I've been thinking about it more and more. And a lot of people say that I should become a lawyer. A lot of people would like to see me do that. And I'm not, you know, that's definitely something that I'm open to. I would like to take a class in that maybe next year.
Does your high school have a speech team, by the way?
Sorry, what?
Does your high school have a speech team?
A speech team? I know they have a class.
Okay. You should check out whether your state hosts any kind of national tournaments. And if your school doesn't participate in that sort of thing, then maybe you should go check out other districts where you could get some help if you're interested in that sort of thing. That's
no, I am. And I think this activism that I'm doing now, it's something that I want to do forever. I mean, like as a little kid,
awesome,
realizing that I was an atheist and then kind of looking at society and saying, why am I not allowed to say I'm an atheist? How come when I say the A word in the grocery store, my parents tell me to be quiet? Like, why is that the case? So it's always bothered me that atheists were so repressed by society and that just not believing in God was such a bad thing. And that's really always just really struck a nerve with me, and I definitely want to maybe help fight to get that changed.
I love you
Absolutely.
So much.
Yes. And you have a good voice for it.
Thank you.
Yes, I think you will definitely succeed at whatever you want to do. And I hope the lawsuit goes through. I mean, I don't see any way that, you know, the school's going to win this. And hopefully they'll be sandblasting that prayer off pretty soon.
Yeah, and then, of course, they'll hate you more.
That's right.
But you
keep,
got those
well,
2 years.
Keep
you'll,
that
you'll
confidence.
Be out. I hope you don't have to move schools or do anything like, you know, some other kids in Damon has had to do.
Yeah.
But
no, I think going to the school is actually the most important part of all this. Because going to the school and being in the society that is trying to keep me from doing this, going there anyway sort of just shows them they can't stop me. They can't tell me no. People on Facebook have been saying things like this, and one person actually wrote, oh, 9 out of 10 people in Cranston hate you and hate what you're doing and completely disagree, so maybe you should just stop. When you know the majority hates you, then you're wrong, obviously. And I said, no, not obviously. That just means it needs to be fought even more, because I am right, and the fact that so few people realize that is a serious problem.
Keep right. that confidence.
Yeah.
And I bet it's not 9 out of 10. Because there's people that aren't able to say they're atheists. That in
yeah.
Christians who support church-state separation. So you've got more support than that. And you've got great support in the atheist community.
I really do. And this has, you know, when this all first started, I guess, like, the ideal outcome, the thing that I really would have most wanted to happen, and it really has. The fact that now Harrison Hopkins in South Carolina, he is working with the SSRF to have the graduation prayer so that his ceremony stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty similar to Damon's
cool.
situation. And then Damon himself, they both actually just saw what I was doing online and decided that they were going to do this too. And that, to me, is the best reward that could
yeah.
possibly come of this.
That's absolutely incredible. It's the type of thing that we've been encouraging, and I'm almost at a loss for words. I'm easily the one who talks the most, and I'd rather want to see you, like, I mean, I realize, you know, you're a sophomore and you've got school to finish and everything, but I just want you to run around to all the conventions to tell your story, because, you know, you're such a good spokesperson for it. It's just, I'm so glad we managed to get you on the show today.
I'm so glad I got to be on. and I will. I really do plan to go all over the country. I'm going to the Secular Student Alliance conference this summer in Ohio, and I'm going to be a speaker there. I'm also going to the Center for Inquiry Leadership Conference next month, which is in Amherst, New York.
Excellent.
Yeah,
cool.
And it's going to be fun.
Somebody called Dave Silverman.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You're going to be... There's going to be a horsewoman of atheism now.
One other question. Has anyone in your school come up, apart from all the people who hate you apparently, has anyone come up sort of privately and expressed any appreciation that you said anything they couldn't?
Yes, and that has been amazing. First of all, a lot of it happens on Facebook, because Facebook, it's quiet.
Right.
You know, you don't... You won't have to actually say something to someone's face. You can just kind of type it, and they'll hear your message. So some people have messaged me. A lot of alumni have said, like, oh, you know, I went to the school, and it bothered me that there was a prayer, but I didn't say anything because I was afraid people would hate me, but I'm glad you're doing this. And that's kind of why it's ironic when people tell me to just shut up and go away, because I'm the only person in Cranston who's offended by this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I actually have a few friends who, you know, I would hang out with and stuff, but I never knew were atheists, and they've actually since come to me and told me this, and I'm like, you're an atheist? Why didn't you tell me, like, years ago? And it's a really awesome feeling, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, do you want to pimp your Facebook group?
Do I want to what?
do you want to tell everyone about your Facebook group?
Oh, yeah. I started a Facebook group back in, I think, August, because I didn't really know how to show my support for deport removal. And as a student, I assumed that I should be giving my opinion. So I made a Facebook page entitled Support the Removal of the Cranston High School West Prayer.
Which everyone should join, everyone listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be nice, because that's pretty much the only support that I mean, it's a big pool of people at this point. We have, I think, like 780-some people. But it's been really slow. Starting off, I had like 20, and they were all people I knew personally, like my family members. And then, you know, every time I would make some sort of appearance at a committee meeting, or I think I was on TV a few times, that it, more people would start joining. But it was really, really slow. And it's taken almost 10 months now to get those almost 800 members. So that's definitely a place where I post everything that goes on. I update it constantly, and people can comment. And it's really just like a great little society. I felt really alone, and I felt like no one was supporting what I was doing. So I kind of just made the page, and now there's plenty of people.
Yeah, cool. And there's also a Support Damon group that got a lot of stuff going. Facebook is the face of atheist activism right now, I think, at least the younger portion of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it was great talking to you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
And we'll tell everyone to join your group and keep up on the case, and maybe we can have you on again. And here's Matt.
So as a quick test to see if there's any little bit of power I happen to wield on Facebook, I hadn't actually joined the page yet because I'd been viewing it through Beth's while we were talking about it. So I've hit the max friend limit on Facebook, so I just threw out a notice telling everybody to go join the group. So we'll see if you get any little bump from that, and also from the nonprofits listeners. If you're listening right now, these are the type of people that we need to be supporting and encouraging. So go out and hit up the Facebook page, and you know, you can always get more information from our site about efforts like these. Jessica, thanks so much for agreeing to call in and talk to us today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully. Oh, Beth's got something else.
No.
Oh, not for her, it's for me. All right, so in our, you know, entirely professional sense, goodbye and thank you very much. I hope to talk to you soon. All right.
Awesome.
So there we go with the amazing high school edition of the nonprofits. And now we have to scramble to find the new stuff that we were going to actually talk about.
What about part three?
Part three isn't what?
Well, it's not here, but we'd still like to talk about it.
Yes, I would like to talk about the fact that we were going to have another person on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can give her name. She's said it on Facebook, Alex Egbert. She was unable to come on today, but she also had a story. She is a bit less famous than Jessica and Damon. What she did is she brought attention to prayers that were being said at football games at Soddy Daisy High School, which is near Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is near Cleveland, Tennessee, which is where I'm from. I don't know her personally, but I was very touched by her story. And one of the reasons you don't know as much about her is that she was actually pretty successful. There was actually a court case, I think, here in Texas where there were prayers before football games, and those were stopped. That actually went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And when Alex brought her school's attention to, there's been a freaking Supreme Court case about this, they actually stopped. One of the things was that I think they now either have a moment of silence or some portion before the game where they invite people onto the field and people then say the Lord's Prayer or something. But, you know, that's kind of free speech. I don't know how you're going to stop that. But give a shout out to her. She can't be here today. Maybe she'll be on a future nonprofits. But that was the third person that was supposed to be on today. And now we can go on to news or whatever else.
Well, I don't think that there can be enough praise for that school that just listened to what was going on and just kind of did the right thing. You know, they said, this is wrong, it needs to change, it's against the law. And they weren't going to be some kind of dumb hero to try and fight it and lose a bunch of money for their school that could be, you know, spent on better books, spent on education. You know, that they're saving that money. They're saving their butts.
And I'm surprised. It's Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. I guess
so
they're
good
just
on them.
I guess they're just in such dire financial straits. But yes, good for them.
You know, positive reinforcement. So good for you guys. Good for Soddy Daisy.
Yeah, that's a good point. We have to make sure that we're, you know, not just mentioning the ones that are egregiously violating the Constitution, but the ones that actually do the right thing when the issue is raised.
And I want to point out that a thread running through these stories is basically that a thing like this, like having to sit through an annoying prayer, which is maybe offensive, may seem trivial. And in a sense, it kind of is trivial on an individual basis. But when you think about how many schools across the country are just working on this tacit approval of the one majority religion, it's important that people like Jessica and Damon and Alex are all standing up and speaking out, mainly because it shifts general perspective over time. I mean, maybe the first time that they come out, everybody's going to come out and say, we hate you so much. But they're also going to add their voices to a big pot of voices that is saying, hey, we're atheist students, and we're here too, and we deserve to be to have our rights respected. And the result is that schools like Alex's will have heard about these cases before and just recognize, oh, okay, this is becoming settled law, and this is not something that we should work so hard to fight against.
Yeah, but are these schools doing this for the right reasons? I mean, it's not like they're saying, oh, right, secularism is great. No, they're saying, oh, lawsuit, bad, let's not do this, you know.
I'd say, I mean, on the whole, it...
Not I mean, wanting
it
to cost your...
in the long term, yeah. But it, in the short term, it's the shift that's important.
I guess.
Not wanting to cost your school millions of dollars is... that's a good thing, too. So it's not an entirely bad reason. But yes, I definitely understand what you're saying, and
yeah,
it would be much nicer if they were.
Yeah, just me, you know, going, oh, the only reason I don't commit murder is it's against the law. You know,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. The only reason I don't do it is because I don't want to go to jail or pay a fine.
Right.
Well, another way to look at it with stuff like that, whenever, you know, schools or governments or corporations do stuff to avoid a lawsuit, it's like, yeah, some of them are just greedy bastards, but a lot of the these are made up of individuals, and there's a lot of teachers, and teachers tend to be smarter people, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people who are the teachers or are on the school board, they want these kind of changes, but they're also afraid to speak up for it because that's their job.
Yeah. Right.
So there are a lot of people who are, you know, really psyched about these kinds of positive changes.
Tend to be smarter, with notable exceptions like Damon's teacher Mitzi.
Yeah. And by the way, one of the comments that Damon's teacher Mitzi made that I, you know, granted it was extremely objectionable for her to launch any kind of personal attack against Damon, which just showed her lack of professionalism. But she made another comment that was along the lines of, we've been doing this for all these years, and the non-believers have just managed to stay quiet, and they should keep doing that, which is, you know, basically, we don't really care if it's illegal. We're the majority, and the rest of you can just shut up and take it or leave.
Yeah.
Which is what that is.
Well, I think it's meant to be a defense. It's like nobody complained about it till now, so,
yeah.
You know, we just assumed it would be okay. And while they think that that's an excuse to keep doing it, I see it as a call to arms, meaning that you have to complain.
Yes.
Just listen to these teachers, and they are basically telling you in code that you should have complained sooner.
And this
and
is...
I know it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, this you have to complain mantra is one I've been doing for years now, since Justice Breyer basically invented a grandfather clause in order to keep the Ten Commandments monument on the Texas Capitol grounds.
Uh-huh.
There were two cases, one in Texas and one in Kentucky, being fought at the same time over Ten Commandments. The Supreme Court ruled one way on one of them and one on the other, and it was because of Breyer, who flipped and created a grandfather clause saying that this monument in Texas had been there for years without anybody complaining, which means you actually have to complain so that nobody can play that extremely weak-ass card.
Well, you know what right. that sounds like, is that it's not rape if she doesn't scream.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's nice to say, well, you should scream about it, but the thing is we should really be focusing on accepting and recognizing the privilege and, you know, going after the people who are exercising that kind of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone is complaining about someone and you're in a privileged position, you know, don't just kind of shrug it off and say, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, you got to listen to that.
So you want to talk about prayer being used as a weapon and the divisiveness of prayer in general, and especially sectarian prayers being offered in the public forum. And by that, I don't mean just out on the street. I mean not only in schools, but in legislatures. Pastor Bradley Dean stood up before the Minnesota House the other day and gave a prayer where he referred to Jesus Christ as the head of the denomination, as every president up until 2008 has acknowledged, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Wait a minute.
What's that statement? Every president up until... who did we elect in 2008? And
some Muslim, I think.
Is that Muslim guy. Hussein, wasn't it? Yeah, and he came under fire, basically, for standing up there and implying something about the president's non-Christianity, which isn't true by, you know, the president's own statements.
Yep.
Well, I'm a little more offended that he's implying that our earlier presidents weren't deists.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's kind of, they can't stand up for themselves anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and adopt all the dead ones so that I can make my point about this one.
On behalf of the corpse of Thomas Jefferson, I object.
Stop raping me.
Yeah.
But when challenged on it, his response was kind of typical. He said,
"Oh yeah,
I said a prayer. If a prayer starts a firestorm, so be it."
Oh, screw you, asshole.
Yeah, so Bradley, deep in the... deep in the weeds and not caring at all.
Yep.
This also from the Texas Freedom Network. Texas State Senator Bob Dole, a Republican from Greenville, was responding to the Republicans' likely killing of the Medicare Women's Health Program, which does not provide abortions, and the seeming attempts to link contraception to abortion. And he said, apparently the anti-abortion movement has morphed into the anti-contraception movement. So in Texas, they're trying to kill off a program that doesn't do abortions but provides contraception. And it's the same anti-abortion people, going back to, you know, discussions that Beth and I have had about a strong contingent of these people are just actively pushing an agenda that goes way beyond their own personal view on abortion, but is really trying to control sexuality in the United States entirely.
Yeah, control everybody's lives.
Beth, help me out here. I think you posted this on Facebook earlier this week, but there is some state... I mean, we had this conversation a few weeks ago on the show where various states are passing individual unconstitutional rulings against abortion, hoping that it will get to the Supreme Court. And some state actually, I think, outright banned it this week. Or am I just imagining?
That may have been, I think, Louisiana's trying to. The home of Bastrop.
Hey.
And then, of course, South Dakota has pretty much banned it because they say women have to go to crisis pregnancy centers to get counseled during their three-day waiting period, and no one has signed up to do the counseling, which would therefore make it absolutely impossible.
Right.
Get an abortion.
So you cannot obey the law. But yeah, okay, thanks for the state. I've got the story here then. Louisiana, Baton Rouge, a House committee has approved legislation to outlaw abortion in Louisiana, despite concerns that the bill would knock the state out of compliance with federal law and risk the loss of federal funding for Medicaid. Abortion opponents at the hearing Tuesday applauded the committee's decision to send the bill to the House floor, where it will force lawmakers during an election year to take a stance on abortion. But the bill could also force the state to pay millions of dollars to defend the law, as well as jeopardize federal funding for Louisiana's Medicaid program. And as I recall, this is from the first source I could grab it from, which is NECN.com. It's apparently a news site, but I can't be much more specific than that right now. But I do recall that a lawmaker in supporting the bill actually basically said something equivalent to, come and get us. We hope you bring this to the Supreme Court.
Right.
I mean, it's not just general paranoia on our part.
That's the climate.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
And in Texas, our Governor Goodhair has just signed into law a requirement that anybody seeking an abortion must have a sonogram within 24 at least 24 hours before they can actually have the procedure. And State Senator Dan Patrick from Houston, who I have been railing against ever since he was elected and pushed through the Patrick resolution, which was unanimously approved, plastering Under God and In God We Trust up all over the Capitol, along with a bunch of other things, had this wonderful little thing to say. He was responding to remarks from someone in the audience talking about women who have abortions being guilty of killing their children. And Dan said, in his official capacity as state senator, by the way, the good news is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, he forgives, and women who have aborted children need to know that message. I believe this can be the beginning of the end of 75,000 abortions we have every year in Texas.
What a fuck, Dan Patrick.
It's nice that he thinks he's God.
Makes me want to get an abortion just in their honor.
Well,
So, and the last quote from this particular article, and thanks again to Texas Freedom Network, Texas State Representative Sinfronia Thompson, a Democrat from Houston, on the floor of the House on Thursday, was denouncing a general culture of misogyny and specifically flyers with the words nanny state and an image of a child suckling a woman's bare breast. Said, they have no right to do women this way. We have not earned this disrespect in this House. We fight here. We get elected here just like you do. And men, if you don't stand up for us today, don't you walk in this chamber tomorrow.
Hmm.
Although I don't know that she sounded quite as threatening as I did. I'm a bit more imposing than some of the elected officials are. So quick notes and recap. I mean, we don't have to. We're over our hour mark here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot going on. Oh, wait. Beth is screaming for the microphone again.
I have a story about another school that's doing the right thing. This is actually from FoxNews.com, so that's weird.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're pissed off.
Well, right. New Jersey school and ACLU compromise on graduation at Christian-owned site. School officials in Neptune Township, New Jersey, have bowed to the demands of the ACLU and will cover decades-old religious signs posted in the historic Great Auditorium to allow a 70-year tradition of high school graduations to continue. Instead of the sign Holiness to the Lord, a banner will be posted over it saying Neptune Township School District, a community of learners. A banner with the word So Be Ye Holy will be covered with another banner saying Neptune High School, a school of excellence and no excuses. So this school does their graduations in a church.
All right.
Because I guess it happens to hold the number of people they need, which that has happened at my cousin's graduation. There was rain forecasted, so they did it in a large church, although they did not cover the crosses, and they actually had a prayer. But they do it in a church. But they cover all the religious symbols, and I'm hoping they don't have prayer. I don't think so. So, yeah, it's good.
It's kind of along the lines of our polling place, where I go to vote in our district, is actually a church. And they're kind of required to, not in addition to, you know, advertising specific things, they're also required to cover up a lot of the proselytizing, you know, because
user
this is
icons,
now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen everywhere. And, you know, if you're living in one of those areas where it's not happening, I think the theme of today is it's time to actually stand up and say something. Because the sooner you do, the sooner more other people will be able to. And
rather than just sit there and be bludgeoned.
The easier it is to get these issues kind of raised. So I was in Oakland last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
To both poke fun at Harold Camping and his Rapture group.
Oh, boy, good.
To meet with a bunch of atheists.
They need a lot of fingers pointed.
And encourage people to not only come out, but to work towards specific goals. I don't know. I don't think the actual talk that I gave has been posted yet. But it was basically a call for us to start turning the dial up to 11, I'm pushing for us to eventually have a cable network. Not just like atheist TV, but more an educational thing that covers all of the issues surrounding secularism, maybe Reason TV or something along those lines. And I don't think anything is going to happen right away. And who knows, there may not be enough of a market for it to make it viable.
Right.
And by the time there is a market for it, you wouldn't potentially need a network like that. But the purpose of it is to keep people going along those lines, to get more blogs, more YouTube videos, more TV shows, more radio shows, maybe syndicated radio shows, and work towards that goal. I had a great time. I posted a trip report in three pieces at atheistexperience.blogspot.com. The first post was basically, look at all the cool stuff I got to do that you didn't. Because I showed up and Beth is mad at me because she didn't get to go. And like day one, I show up in Oakland and got a hold of Greta Christina. And she was like, yeah, come on over. So I'm sitting over at Greta's house with Jen McCrite and a bunch of other people, and Beth is like, I hate you so much because she didn't get to go. And we had a good time, and big thanks to Donna Warnock for ferrying me around, and to Surly Amy and Rebecca and all the great people that I got to I've met Surly Amy many times and adore her, but Rebecca and Watson and I got to meet for the first time, and so we talked. But the big thing, that part two was covering most of the event, and part three was just a big thank you to all the people who came up. And I'm the lucky one who gets to go out to these events all the time, mm-hmm. with a constant stream of people coming up saying, hey, I was I was a Christian until your guys' show. I was an agnostic until your guys' show. I was an apathetic atheist until your guys' show. I was a pagan until your guys' show. And this time there was somebody who came up to say, what you guys do on the show helped me. I was already an atheist, but you really helped me get over my lingering fears about hell. The kind of poisonous infection that religion does keeps a hold on many atheists. I hear this a lot. I didn't have as much of a problem getting over the hell thing myself.
Wow.
But I know many people do after they have given up their religious views. So I had a great time in Oakland. That report's up. And I'm going to hand it back over to Beth again real quick.
50 people have joined to support the removal of the Cranston High School West Prayer Group in the last few minutes.
That's it? What the hell's wrong with you people? Do you not live on Facebook? I mean, I assumed all of you are on Facebook all the time. Maybe when I get the podcast actually posted and we direct it to the larger group, because there's only 30 people who can actually listen live. So it was, and who knows who's actually tuned in Facebook. Seriously, though, thanks for that. And by the way, we have not, as we approach the end of the show, I'm tempted to end it a minute early just in case we pass PZ before the show's over.
I've just done the subtraction for you.
Have you?
Yes. The difference has closed. It is now $74 apart. I think one pretty well-off guy could easily cover that.
Okay, on that note, the show's over. Thanks a lot. No.
Hey.
Before Russell pulls out his credit card and puts $74 in there. So there's not going to be an Atheist Experience tomorrow. They're painting the studio. And so it seems like it's been like a month and a half or 2 months since I've actually done a show.
Really?
I was gone, I had the convention, and then Russell did shows, and then there was a show off, and Martin did a show, covering. So it'll be 2 weeks, and I'm guessing that's my week. Who knows? It could be Russell's week again.
So just to clarify with the drag thing, are you wearing makeup? Are you wearing a wig?
Oh, I'm going all out.
Going all out. All
right. The only thing I'm not going to do is shave my beard.
Fair enough. I don't know. Drag seems pretty cool, but I mean, I'm wearing pants right now, and I don't know. That doesn't feel like I'm wearing drag.
Yeah. No, I'm going not just, like Halloween, I'm going to put on a dress thing. It's going to be like professional performance drag queen show thing as much as I can.
I think here in Austin, Leslie has proven that you do not need to shave your beard in order to do a good drag performance.
That's absolutely true. For those who don't know, we have just, I don't know if he's
Leslie
actually
Cochran.
Homeless or not, but he's constantly out on the street and in drag and has become like an Austin icon, even ran for mayor. Good stuff there. So there's no Atheist Experience tomorrow. Try and enjoy the rest of your holiday here in the United States. If you're around, it's if you're in the United States, it's Memorial Day weekend. And I think Beth and I are going to hit the road and go camping and pet some deer and stuff. Anybody else have big plans for the rest of the weekend?
We're going to get some wedding planning stuff done.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, so to have a camera on Russell's face when she said that.
He was the one who suggested
that's
it.
That's true.
So.
Right. But that doesn't mean I'm looking forward to it.
Well.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, as I was saying before, I get the benefit of going out to the things and hearing from all the fans of both of the shows, and I absolutely love it. It's probably one of the best things that happens at these. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's cool to get to meet and hang out with a lot of other atheist activists who I respect and admire, you know. But hearing from the people who have really benefited from the work done on both shows is amazing. And one of the things that kills me every time is I'm there and I'm having a good time and I'm like, everybody else involved in the show should really be able to benefit from this. So as I mentioned before, in 2012, the Reason Rally is coming up, which is a joint effort between, I think it's like 13 secular organizations. Wow. In Washington, D.C. We don't have official plans worked out, but what I'd like to do is get everybody involved in both shows to go to this event, and I'm going to talk to the organizers to see if there's a way for us to set up a little mini studio, pack up our stuff, mm-hmm. do a live stream of the event, and there may be some contests to get guests on and let everybody go up there and do bits and pieces of the show, that type of stuff, so that everybody involved in the show can feel as good as I do when I get to go out and do these things. But it's great. And thanks,
nice.
Thanks to everybody who tuned in and for all the people who thought, hey, they're taking 3 weeks off. I wonder if it's going to turn into 3 months. It didn't. And we'll be back in 2 weeks on the 11th.
All right.
But anybody else got any last-minute stuffs?
Any improvement?
Anybody?
No. No.
Anybody?
No. The world didn't end and isn't going to.
Yeah. At least not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
And as far as we know. Not in any predictable way.
Not in
way.
October. Not in 2012.
See, fine. That's the thing. Is I'm pissed because I go all the way out to California for this supposed rapture. And I took a picture, by the way, of one of their billboards. It was Sunday, May 22nd, and I took the picture of their thing saying the world was going to end on May 21st, which is great. And now he's claiming, well, it was this spiritual.
And how much money did he make from this whole debacle?
Well, see, that's the thing is they
no way of knowing.
They spent a lot. There were around the world upwards of 5,000 billboards. Now, American Atheists put up one billboard in the Oakland, San Francisco area. It cost $27,000.
Good grief.
When we were looking at billboards in the Austin area, depending on where you wanted to put it, it was as much as $10,000 to $15,000 a month to get a billboard up. And this guy's got 5,000 billboards all around the world. This is the reason that there's a rapture thing all the time. Proclaiming one. But this nut managed to not only get people behind him, but to get a bunch of money. People gave up their life savings, mm-hmm. sold their houses, gave him all their money. He gives them a Winnebago and sends them out to proclaim that the end is nigh, and the end is actually meh.
Grief. These people have children.
Yeah. Real people, real lives were affected by this, and that was one of the things I talked about when there were several news channels that were covering our event that did some interviews, and somebody from overseas saw me on like an overseas Fox Network thing. Ooh, hey, there's Matt. But it was the thing that I said, you know, yeah, we're here. And this event was planned before the rapture thing kind of caught on. And yeah, we're going to have some fun and we'll probably poke fun at these rapture predictions. But that's not the only reason we're here. We're here to support the atheist community and to remind people that there are real people involved in these stories mm-hmm. and real lives that have been lost. There was a woman in Los Angeles who tried to kill her two daughters and herself.
That's right.
Because of the impending tribulation that was to come after the rapture. You know, I didn't suspect that we were going to see another Jonestown or Heaven's Gate or anything like that. But it doesn't have to get that bad for it to be bad. It's already bad.
Right. I heard Harold Camping in an interview because I was like obsessively hunting for any news or media about him after. And in the interview, he was asked, you know, what about all these people who have lost all this money because they listened to you? Are you planning to refund any of the money that was donated? And he said, Well, I mean, it's been a bad economy. People are losing their life savings anyway. That's basically what...
Yeah, that's what this millionaire shithead says. Yeah,
that's way worse than what I heard. My favorite quote was him was, "I'm not a genius." And I was like, boy, there's the understatement of the year.
Yes.
All right, Dennis,
all right,
close us out.
Well, that was our show. Unfortunately, we sounded a bit angry at a few points, so all our arguments are automatically invalid. Regardless, I'm Dennis Lube, along with Matt Dillahunty,
yeah,
Russell Glasser.
Bye.
Beth Presswood.
Bye.
And
Linnea Daly.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Or I'm going to get my hammer back, return to Asgard, and kick Loki's butt back to hell. It's one or the other. We report, you decide. Until then, here's Schools Out by Alice Cooper.